Blog Talk Radio.
Softly by me, changing night into day. She opens her mouth to speak, and soul sounds ring in my head. She speaks, and I want to dance to her rhythm. She moves ever so gently, increasing my desires to place my arms around her waist and hold and squeeze her to me. I want to melt into her body and discover the base of her warmth. Her beautiful black body that no human mind could ever conceive. She's love, she's truth, she's real. As real as the stars that shine in the heavens, as real as the sun that bathes her body, as real as the moon that glows and the birds that sing and the rose that blossoms in spring, for she is that rose, and not just any rose, but a black rose, that dwells on the hill and looks at the world, a black rose that stands taller and stronger than any other plant, a black rose that stands as creator of nations, a bad black rose that never loses her petals and blossoms all year round. Black rose, sweet rose, thornless rose, eternal rose, please look my way, please look my way.
Welcome to another edition of Watch Dao, The Comedic Path to Peace. I am your host, Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku. And I took a little break. You know, sometimes you need to kind of take a break, although sometimes there have been some serious computer glitches where I tried to get on the air, but I couldn't get on the air. I am grateful for my computer, as I keep telling you all. But sometimes it's not my computer. Sometimes it is just that Blog Talk has a lot of glitches. And so, you know, technology, you deal. You deal with it the way that you need to. So anyway, I'm hoping that you all are well. We have come through some various cycles since I last have been with you. And give thanks and praises that we're starting to see some warm weather here on the East Coast and the Northeast in particular, and that's been truly a joy. You know, I always say be grateful for every single day of life. Today's Wakdahu will focus on something that I have touched on in various shows, but I'm going to get down and dirty with it today. We'll have a frank discussion today about the return of the Kemetic matriarchy. Another way of looking at it, quite frankly, is how the patriarchy has had a negative effect on Kemetic traditions. Mm-hmm. So, let's begin, since we are honoring the Divine Feminine. And I want to tell you that Akeru Temple has been at the forefront of the movement of reclaiming all of the balanced energy of Ma'at, of the Divine Matriarchy, and returning the motherhood, the sisterhood, womanhood, to its rightful throne. That does not mean that we're trying to toss the brothers out. That means that we are trying to honor, no, not trying to, that we are and will honor the Divine Feminine that exists within us all, because when we don't recognize the intuitive, creative, nurturing aspects of ourselves, when we disrespect the energy of the Divine Mother within, that brings chaos, it brings imbalance, and it brings pain. Yes. So we'll be looking closely at how we as men and women can restore the Divine Feminine within ourselves. We honor both the balanced man and the woman that exists within us all. But we'll be opening today's prayers with the Mother's Prayer instead of the Kemetic version of the Lord's Prayer, which is the Mother and Father. This is honoring the Divine Mother, Sherer Mut Nebet, the Mother Master's Prayer. Mut ni pi enti emcherit, renuet jeser, per cherech, ir ebech, emtacher emtet, my Mother who exists in and of heaven. Your names are sacred. Your kingdom come. Your will is done on earth as in heaven. Erdinu cherupen, give me this day Kauni, my daily bread. Nechatin achani, have mercy on my misgivings. Ker nechatni achaini, as I pardon my transgressors. Utebni em checheru, turn me from evil conditions. Nechemni emedet, rescue me from folly. Utenitech, netrerech, netriech, your kingdom, your power, your glory and divinity. Nekek, forever. Imanit. Opening the way. Enk, enk, enk. Mer isha isha emetrut mut nebu. Love and respect to all the Mother Netrut. Yat, dwa yet. Yati, glory and praise, please come. Embrace me. Yun Kerech, Yapyut. Show yourself, Yapyut. The energies, the divine energies of the East, the mother energies of the East. Ek, Ek yuni. Yut. Yapt yut. Enter. Enter my body. I am the Divine Mothers of the East. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks to you. Yun Keretch. I'm sorry, Refut. Ek. Ek yuni. Yut refut. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. Show yourselves, divine energies of the South, the mother energies of the South. Enter. Enter my body. I am you. I lift my hands in praise. Yun Cherech Imetut. Show yourselves, divine mother energies of the West. Ek. Ek Yuni. Yut Imetut. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. Enter. Enter my body. I am you. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks to you. Yun Cherech Mektiut. Ek. Ek Yuni. Yut Mektiut. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. Self. Divine energies of the North. Enter. Enter my body. I am you. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks to you. Yun Cherech Betuit Mut Nebu Emchet. Show yourselves, guardian mothers, all guardian mothers of the heavens. Yun Nis Yut Retuit, Retuit Mut Nebu Emchet. Enter, enter my body. I am you. I lift my hands in praise. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. Many thanks. Yun Cherech Betuit Mut Nebu Emta. Show yourselves, all mother guardians of earth. Ek. Ek Yuni. Yut Retuit Mut Nebu Emta. Enter. Enter my body. I am you. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. I lift my hands in praise. Thank you. Yun Cherech Retuit Mut Nebu Emkat. Show yourselves, all mother guardians of the divine body. Ek. Ek Yuni. Yut Retuit Mut Nebu Emkat. Enter. Enter my body. I am you. Yahweh and Yahu. Dwau. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks. Yun Cherech Paut Netrut. Show yourselves, the divine feminine company of guardians. Ek, Ek Yuni, Yut Paut Netrut. Enter, enter my body. I now am you. Yahweh En Yahu, Dwau. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks to you. Yun Cherech Netrut Nebu. Show yourselves, all female Netru. Ek, Ek Yuni, Yut Netrut Nebu. Enter, enter my body. I now am you, Netrut Nebu. Yahweh and Yahu, Dwau, Dwau, Dwau. I lift my hands in praise. Many thanks to you. And lastly for today, I'd like to share a faith prayer. Sharer Nekti. The word Nekti is faith. Nekti mi Neket. My faith is strong. Neket Neketi. Sycamore, tree of life, my refuge. Nekuni mut Nechur. Mother God watches over me. Anuk Neket. I'm sorry, that should be Anuk Neketet. I am a powerful woman. My. So much has gone through my mind over these last several weeks. And growth is a really amazing thing. There's a saying that I learned from the metaphysical church that I used to go to and that I graduated from. What is true for me today may not be true for me tomorrow. And before I go any further, I would like to acknowledge the song that was played during the opening of Black Rose, and it is by my dear friend Abiodun Oyewole of The Last Poets from his Omitutu CD, one of my absolute favorites. It's a song you can find on Amazon and download for 99 cents, or you can just get the whole CD. And Dun, as we affectionately call him in the community, he loves the Divine Feminine, that's for sure. and that song is, of course, in tribute to Black women everywhere. And I thought it was apropos to open the show with that song, that spoken word piece and song. But I guess that is sort of a segue into where I've been, what I've been up to. You know, with the transition of Grandmaster Cam, my beloved Sefnature, you know, has brought me to new levels of insight about who I am and why the heck I'm here, what I've been doing, and what my purpose is. And, you know, yes, I'm a queen mother. Yes, I am a spiritual teacher and cultural teacher. And many of you also know that I am an artist. And Heteru has just been knock, knock, knocking on my door, upside my head, all of this to get me back to a place of honoring the fact that I am a sacred artist. And so I've been back out there on the scene and doing my poetry and spoken word and to give thanks and praises over at Refall headquarters where Akeru is in residence and where we hold our special temple services. And we will no longer be holding services every other week. We will be holding them, well, at least for right now, because I need a little break with that too. But we will be having services on special occasions, which will be announced. And I will also be starting a rites of passage program. I've been wanting to do this for 7 years, an all-female rites of passage program that is multi-generational and that teaches us to reclaim our divine feminine traditions that used to be passed on from elder to younger and from mentor to mentee, from mother to daughter, from grandmother to grandchild, sister to sister, because we've forgotten what that looks like. We've forgotten how that is. Some of us have never even known. So that will be on Wednesdays starting in May. And that will be starting the third week of May, I believe. I'll get back to you on that. Check the Akeru Temple website. And in addition to that, Akeru Temple is now, an arts temple. But you know what? In truth, we were all along. Yes, I'm still teaching kometaphysics. And I'm really aware of the fact that it's a deep level of kometaphysics. And also it's a joy to be able to share that for those who are ready to receive it and recognizing that there are some people who just need to get things at another level. You know, we grow at different paces. But for those who are ready to come in and get the deeper, deeper knowledge, especially when it comes to the women's mysteries, then that, of course, will still be there. But I have always incorporated the arts in how I teach. It's a natural part of who I am as an artist, but also as a woman, understanding that the arts are a necessary component in being able to get the message across. You know, our ancestors talked about the importance of using imagery to teach and to get into people's heads, so to speak, you know. You know, even in the newspaper business, you know, I'm a black journalist too, you know, so it's always instead of pictures worth a thousand words. And so whenever we had stories for the newspapers I've written for, there's always been the question, do you have a picture? You know, I mean, even on the internet, you'll notice that people pay attention more to pictures. You know, a lot of you, you know, in case you were wondering why I use so many pictures on my Facebook page, it's not because I'm vain. You know, I just use myself as a subject. I don't know why people pay more attention to pictures that have me in them as opposed to just general artwork that I put up. But whatever the case, I know that it is an effective tool to be able to convey what is hopefully helpful to a lot of people in body, mind, and spirit. So now officially Akheru is an art temple. It's not like this is the first time this has ever been done. I mean, you have the forces of nature that is out there as a dance theater, and they are also a temple. We will be operating in that vein, and our official theater company, Yay, Akheru Afrohemian Ensemble, which is the official theater company of Refall Headquarters, yes, will be debuting at the end of June. We're holding auditions May 3rd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you have had a desire to be a performer, to dance, to be on stage, or even just to volunteer and help out with the process, please come on. This is a grassroots theater. I love grassroots theater. That is my heart. And back when I had the Zawadi Collective, indeed it was a grassroots theater. Prior to that, I had Harmonic Essence. And, you know, grassroots theater means that it is the voice of the people and that it is something that is put together from heart and the pure intention and sweat of the people, and without having government breathing down your neck, you know, or others trying to influence it. It is about a community. And to me, that's just always the best way to approach theater. Now, don't get me wrong, because I've seen some amazing Broadway productions, and it's not like I don't ever want to get to Broadway someday. I'll get there, okay. But it is what struck me when I first was on, when I first saw a Broadway production at 12, and the show was Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, was the fact that this was a show telling the story of our people. Oh, my. And a woman wrote the show. Oh, my goodness. A sister wrote the show. It blew my 12-year-old mind, and I said, that's what I want to do with my life. And so now we are back at this place. I am back at this place of being able to bring theater to our community as my contribution to society. And so we'll be learning about, if you want to learn about deeper comedic concepts, you can come on to see our productions, and also to hear various spoken word pieces and so forth. It's just a celebration of African culture, the ancient part of it and also the contemporary part of it. That's why it's called Afrohemian. Yeah. A lot of you know that I'm the Afrohemian renegade wise woman, so I can't help but bring that vibe to it. So please call me at 646-228-1185 if you are in the New York, New Jersey area and wish to be a part of the Akheru Afrohemian Ensemble. And let's see what else. Let's get into the conversation. You know, I had let me go back. In 2007, when I was teaching for the African Poetry Theater, Brother John Watusi Branch, who is now an ancestor, John Watusi Branch Makeru, and may he rest in peace and power. He recently just transitioned. Asked me to come aboard and teach youth in lockdown, you know, the detention homes, and eventually I was teaching in the Lower Manhattan Courthouse youth jail. And that was, believe it or not, an absolute joy to me, teaching visual art using our culture as a theme for self-empowerment, self-awareness, and also knowledge of our culture and history as we created art projects that were related to that. So when I would come home, a lot of times I would stop by Mickey D's to pick up a coffee or something like that, you know, and there would be this woman outside. It was this, I don't want to say elderly, because I just found out yesterday she's only 62. So subtract 7 years from that, from back when I first saw her, because, you know, I'm 54. So I can't say she's an elder. I mean, she's an elder, yes, but I mean, you know, she's actually younger than I thought she was. But anyhow, she was outside. And no, that's not right. She was inside. And a lot of my students have heard this story. And I'm going to give her another name, because I found out the name that she told me is really her name. I thought at first when she told me her name that it was just a pseudonym, you know, but no. So let me give her a pseudonym right now. Let's call her Susan. Susan was in the back of Mickey D's. As I'm up in the front counter, she's back there cussing out everybody that walked through the door. And I couldn't understand what was up with that. I mean, obviously there was something wrong. So I said something to the young man at the counter. I was like, aren't y'all going to do something about her? He said, who? I said, that woman cussing everybody out back there. He said, her? Oh, she's harmless. Messed me up. And I saw the manager was just kind of going about his business. And it wasn't like it was really busy or anything like that. It was very quiet in the store except for Susan in the back. So and surely enough, as I walked out, she cussed me out, okay? when I saw her next time, she was in the store and she was agitated. And, not that she wasn't before, but this time she just was kind of trying to keep it contained. And I could see she was upset, and so I approached her. And I said to her, you know, are you okay? And so she explained that she was waiting on a check. And she was told it wasn't going to come, and she didn't know what she was going to do. So I said, do you need anything? And so she said if she could have a cup of coffee and maybe a burger, she'd be fine. So I said, I got you. So I went, and I asked her what her name was after I got it for her, and she told me her name. And, you know, she said, thank you. And then the next time I saw her in the store, she cussed me out. And yeah, I realized that there was a problem, but because of the fact that the young man at the counter had given me so much, he taught me a lesson about compassion. You know, obviously they had some insight into the fact that she had some kind of a medical condition, and they weren't trying to chase her out of the store. They were trying to be kind to her. That taught me a lesson. Shamed me, really, and made me check myself. So, you know, I've been back and forth in and out of the area over the years, and have come back to, you know, living in Elizabeth, and wondered if Susan was still around, and surely enough, she was. And now she was back to, what she was doing was opening and closing doors for people. You know, I mean, sometimes people will do that in hopes that someone will take mercy on them and buy them something or give them some change. And she was very, I hate to say docile, you know what I mean? Because that just seems some kind of way, like, you know, she was drugged up or whatever, like, wow, she's learned to behave herself. No, that's not, because that's not what I want to say. She was meek and cordial, and it was the first time I saw her kind of smiling, you know, but she was also hopeful that somebody would have mercy on her. So I approached her, and, you know, she's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. And I said, yeah, I'm back in the area. I said, you cool? You need anything? And she said, well, if I could just have a cup of coffee. And so I went and I bought her a large coffee. But then I started learning to ask her if she ate that day. This is all going somewhere. This is all dealing with the divine matriarchy, okay? Just hang on. My students know, hang on to my stories. They always go back to my point. I have not lost my way, okay? So this has been a thing where I help her out. And somehow every time I leave her, I feel like crap. I do. And I've wondered what her story has been all this time. And I knew that I wasn't going to push it because I certainly did not want to strip her of her dignity, you know. But I always wondered, you know, what got her here? Did she once have a family? Did she lose her family? Did she lose her mind because something happened to her family? Did she have some kind of a medical condition that she needed medication for and would run out of? This has just been what life has done to her. And it was important for me to make it my business to go and stop by there, you know, even if I didn't feel like it. As I was coming off the bus, you know, I no longer teach out at, that gig is over, you know, at the African Poetry Theater. The former mayor of New York dried that money up on us, so it was a good couple of years, but anyway. When I'm downtown, I make it my business to go down to see if she's all right. And she surprised me the next to last time that I saw her, because she just grabbed me and hugged me, you know. And, I mean, she'd become more and more friendly over this last few months, you know, where, you know, I'd go by and be like, you know, you cool, you need anything? And, you know, she'd be like, yeah, you know, I can have something, yeah. And I'd be like, come on, you know, we go inside and we're having a conversation, you know. And after I would place the order, I would leave the counter and people would know to give her order because they knew her, of course, and also because I was trying to, you know, spare her dignity. I didn't want to make it seem like, yeah, I just bought her a meal, you know. I mean, that's not cool, you know what I mean? But she started stopping me and giving me a kiss on the cheek and saying thank you and grabbing my hand, you know. So the next to the last time that I saw her, she actually grabbed me and hugged me when I saw her, you know, and just hugged me a long time. And I tell you, you never know when you're going to be somebody else's angel. And certainly I've been there, you know, where you're waiting for somebody, hoping that somebody's going to show you some mercy. And we went inside, and then I said, you know what, you feel like having something else, you know, because I started feeling some kind of way about always giving her McDonald's, you know what I mean? I mean, that's where she was still, you know. So we went to another place, and I bought her something that was better and more substantial. And you know, I'll tell you, it's not like I got it like that all the time, because goodness knows there are plenty of times I'm waiting on student money and I don't have too much in my fridge. But my thing is at least I have a home to go to and I have at least something, you know, even if it's just a bag of lentils or, you know. There was a time also where it turned out that Susan was homeless. She had gotten evicted from the room that she was in. You know, she was kind of ducking out in the basement of the place where she had been evicted from until something came through for her. So now she's in another place, and she's, you know, she's doing better. She's in a safer environment too. So in taking her to get something else, you know, she said, you know, please sit down. You know, I'd love to sit and talk with you. So we talked a little bit, and again, I wanted to be careful so I wasn't, like, all up in her business, you know, even though it had been 7 years, you know, this whole 7-year process of, you know, going and checking on her off and on, you know. So when I left her, jokingly, she said, thanks, sugar mama, you know. So yesterday I went by to go see about her, you know, and I asked her, I said, would you like me to sit with you? She said, I wish you would. And so I sat with her for about an hour and finally got to find out what her story was. And see, now, listen, this is the thing. Because her story could be any of our stories with the way today's society is. And surely enough, as I suspected, she had a family. She lost her family. She was shocked and found out as a teenager that she was adopted. No, she was a foster kid. And her life just started spiraling out of control after that, you know, and she just started having some real serious problems. She got married, divorced, lost her kids to the system, and has a whole host of medical issues. In fact, it took me, the last time that I sat with her, I for the first time, you know, I realized that she had a hearing problem. You know, it took me 7 years. And, you know, so yesterday she explained to me about how she had this, how she got the hearing problem in addition to a host of other problems. And basically she is a casualty of the system and doesn't have family and doesn't have friends, and said that I'm the only person that has shown her kindness over all these years. And, in a matriarchal society, this would not be. There have been so many I've met as a minister who are living in their own private hells, when all it could take is a community that gave a damn to make the difference. And whenever there are folks who reach a place of struggle, you know, I've been there, a lot of times the first thing that people will say is, well, why don't you apply for welfare, apply for public assistance? And then think that there's something wrong with you because you won't, because you're trying to make it. Because people think that the government is supposed to automatically take up the slack because we don't have communities that care, because we're not individuals that care. And people are considered throwaways if they have hard times consistently. And when all they're looking for is a little human kindness. Let me tell you, patriarchy has done to us. Because, you see, the ironic thing is, now let's go back to Kemet, because you know that's my tradition, and that's what I'm teaching today. You know, that's why I teach in Wat Dawu and in my temple. And this is the tradition that gave high civilization to the world. I've shared with you in previous shows how, in truth, the Kemetic tradition is a ripoff. You know, I used appropriated or appropriation, which is a kinder word, but it was ripped off from the ancient matriarchal traditions that started it. Kemetic traditions were founded from the matriarchy. And brothers and sisters, a lot of you would have your minds blown if you came to know the truth behind a lot of the symbols that our ancient mothers left behind to remind you of where creation began, where you should respect life, why you should respect life. And also the blatant reminders that we are interwoven, we are connected. We need one another in order to survive. Selfishness is against matriarchal traditions. Patriarchy teaches egocentrism. It's about me. Who are you? We can try to blame it on Western culture, but it began with the patriarchy. And certainly the Western culture has perfected it. But let's be real. The word for community, this is an assignment that I gave to one of my students yesterday. Shout out to Musa Sheikh. I told her to look up the word community, and it is N-U-T, N-U-T, Nut, Nut. And we know Nut also to be a guardian of the sky. She gave birth to Asar, Ast, Wasir, Iset, Nebhet, Setesh, or Setuk, and Heru the Elder. But she has a belly full of stars, which represents as she holds the pinpoints of life. She is the divine creator. Her hands and her feet touch the earth. That shows that it is divine, sharing energy and nurturing the earth and the community. It's no accident that Nut would be the same word for community, village. And it is a word from the divine feminine. Where we look after, we take care of one another. All needs are met. There is an equality that comes from matriarchy. Ma'at, which many of you know as Ma'at, is the foundation. It is female energy that teaches about balance and harmony and not violating and also knowing when to step in, when to give a damn, when to do something. There should not be any Susans out begging for food or on the streets or hiding in basements, especially at 62 years old. In matriarchal society, elders are respected. The wisdom of elders are respected. And you know, yesterday I just let Susan talk, you know, and I could tell she really needed to, because she didn't have anybody to talk to, and I asked her about her day. What do you do during the day? Well, I go to the library, I read the paper, and then I read magazines, and then I try to take a walk, and I usually come here. And I came to realize that one of the reasons also that she goes there is so that she can be around people, because she doesn't have anybody. So I told her about some community centers that she didn't know about, where, you know, it's the senior citizen centers, because she mentioned some of the hobbies that she had and where there were programs you can, you know, do for free. And plus I told her I'll be teaching my my yoga class starting in May on Fridays from 10 to 11. And that would be a good place of community where she'd be able to meet other people her age and to do some of the things that she likes to do and make friends and also get fed at least one meal, although she's in a better position now where she's in a place with a kitchen and so forth. And But I just kept thinking as we were talking about how our society has failed so many of us. And let me talk on a broader scale about how we as women have forgotten who we are. Because you see, I was really blessed when I entered what would be called pagan spirituality. By the way, I found out the word pagan is rooted in the word pekin, which is a comedic word. You know, for a little while I was out there saying, listen, nah, don't call me pagan, you know, even though originally I was pagan. Then because of the fact that it just seemed like the pagan there's so many problems in, you know, pagan communities that I was like, don't call me that, don't attach me to that. But the word pagan is rooted in the Kemetic word pekin, which is a healer, okay, which is rooted to the country healer, yes. So anyway, my introduction to matriarchal traditions came when I stepped away from the Christian traditions that I was raised in. And, I mean, that sounds really odd. Although I have to say, let me give my mother credit, because the fact that she was the head of the women's auxiliary in our church. And so that was my chance to see a woman in charge, a woman running things for the community of women and ultimately for the church. Because let me tell you something, that women's auxiliary ran that church. And most of the money that was from the church came in from those sisters working together for their fundraisers that they did throughout the year, okay? So they were the power of that church. For 25 years, my mother was the head of the women's auxiliary. So let me just give credit where it is due. But in terms of on a real grassroots level, hearkening more back to the way of our indigenous foremothers, I used to attend a full moon women's gathering at a Unitarian church out in Bethlehem, PA, every month. And we took turns. There would be two of us that had to partner up and take control of the whatever the theme was. You know, it was, okay, it's your turn. We did like a round robin kind of a thing. And so, and we didn't have email back then. We didn't have the internet, so we relied on snail mail. We would all contribute money so that everyone would be able to get their mailing. You know, we'd pay for the stamps and for the paper and for the mimeographing then so that people would know, so the sisters would know what the theme was going to be, what was needed to be brought for ritual, what your intention had to be. And everybody brought a potluck dish to share and also an offering, you know, a food, I mean, a monetary offering, again, for the whole. And it was quite beautiful, you know. I got to see egalitarianism. I got to hear the voices of a lot of different sisters who didn't look like me. And, I mean, in a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, talking about culture, age, and the commonality that we shared as women facing issues of body, mind, and spirit, and dealing with this patriarchal world. And, you know, we did the whole talking stick thing. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with that. You know, it's where, you know, you pass the stick. It's attributed to Native American culture. When you receive the stick going around the circle, then it's your turn. And you have the option to pass. You know, if you don't have anything you want to share, you just want to listen, or you just, you know, feel like you need to be quiet that day. But then we would share a ritual, and then we would break bread. And it was powerful, and it was meaningful. And many of us don't know what that is. I have found there are a lot of circles now where men have insisted on being part of it. This was what happened when the matriarchy fell. A lot of the secrets that we shared woman to woman now became compromised. There were certain things that we couldn't share, or if we really wanted to share, that meant we had to share in front of the men. And to me, that's a problem, because, you know, we don't try to go and infiltrate a lot of these men's clubs. You know, there are men's clubs that still exist. They do. And the whole notion of trying to find out what we know and see what we do is disempowering. But let me tell you, this is another way that it's gotten flipped. There are women who are talked into spying for a lot of brothers who are in leadership, usually brothers who have very limited skills and knowledge or wisdom to share, but have gotten themselves somehow in positions of power, whether they're self-declared or whatever, or gone to pay somebody, and next thing you know, you've got a McTitle. But now you've got a McCommunity too. So that means that you got to do something. So usually brothers will focus on sisters who have a lot of potential, who are very, very intelligent, and also very loyal, and encourage them to spy for them. And they'll infiltrate groups, you know, go and get initiated in such and such group for a little while, and then come back and bring all the information to the leader, who then will turn around and fashion his own way of governing based on what has been brought back to him, but, you know, trying to make it seem like it was his original idea. Yeah. And for the sisters who do that, you know, I say, y'all got to wake up. Y'all seriously got to wake up, because what you're doing is betraying your sisterhood. And let me continue to speak on that in terms of the fact that we have this whole daddy syndrome. I understand. Listen, I've been there. There are a lot of things that I governed myself by based on the fact that my father was not present in my life in the way that he could have been. He could have been more active presence. And that makes you feel as though there is a void that needs to be filled. So many of us will fill those voids by trying to find a spiritual leader who represents the daddy figure. Yeah. But then if you check it out, you come to find that there are a lot of these brothers who actually have a lot of mother issues, where they're angry at their mothers, they blame their mothers for everything, they don't have a good relationship with their mothers. And let me tell you something. Anytime you are dealing with a brother who consistently has mother issues, he is going to take it out 9 times out of 10 on the women around him, whether it is overtly or covertly. That's just the truth. And unfortunately, in a lot of our African spiritual systems today, the way they're practiced, women will experience rape. You all know my story. There were two brothers who tried to rape me from an organization, and I found out that actually that's the way that they roll. This is what they were taught to do, and that there have been a lot of women in that so-called comedic organization who have been raped and are shamed into silence and become numb. And instead of speaking out and trying to rescue other sisters from going through the same thing, they hold their tongues and become they become part of the conspiracy of silence. Or they become so weak in spirit and disheartened that they've forgotten that they have a voice. Then let's talk about Tantra. Oh, my. Tantra used to be, and still is, it still can be, the potential is still there, a really beautiful system of sharing energy that actually also started from the matriarchy. Yes. Now we have brothers who are dictating to sisters. Tantra. And let me just tell you all something, because a lot of the brothers who use it usually are trying to hide something and usually are trying to keep women bound to them, because that's what the energy does, you know, unless you're really aware of what's happening. So a lot of these brothers end up sleeping with a lot of sisters in their temples and using the tantric energy. And these women don't understand why they are, oh, my goodness, they become so completely wrapped up and devoted to this leader and to the organization or temple, and not understanding exactly why, but they're just doing it, you know? But the brothers know. Let me tell you, and before you start thinking I'm male bashing, let me just tell you, if you haven't heard me say it before, I need to say it again. I love, 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 love our brothers. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But I also know as a woman that I'm entitled to my respect and to my rightful place. And I've seen over and again where brothers who have felt very intimidated simply because of the fact that I'm a scholar, because of the fact that I'm an artist, and because of the fact that I'm a free spirit, that I'm considered a threat. And there is the desire to subjugate. You know, even little sneaky means, like, you know, getting involved with a brother. This is something I've heard from other sisters. Getting involved with a brother. You know, you have your principles, and you're saying, you know, listen, you stand squarely upon the principles of my age. And listen, if you're involved with somebody, then I can't be involved with you. oh, no, no, I'm not involved with this person that I heard doing. No, 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 not anymore. And basically because they want to get with you. Then after the fact, you find out that they were lying to you just, you know, to be able to get with you. And now they have put you in a position of compromising your integrity and your morals. That's not cool. That's really not cool. And anytime you have anyone, whether it's a man or a woman, who is really obsessed with the sex thing, that shows imbalance. And usually there are a lot of insecurity issues that are tied to that. And trying to use sex as opposed to love making is a matriarchal concept because it is sharing. In using sex as opposed to love making in order to fulfill your sense of self, there's a problem. In using sex in order to subjugate or to deviate, you know, because people get caught up in sex, you know, instead of focusing on the issues at hand, you know, there's a problem, all right? In talking about love making, you'll notice that when you make love and it is sharing, you know, and caring, it is when it's heart-to-heart connection, then generally a lot of times, it's been my experience always, that brothers will open up and begin talking heart to heart with you, you know. And sisters, we have so often now in these days come to a place of believing that it is not about love making, it is about money, and it is about just trying to prove yourself or about whatever you can get out of a man. That's not who we were. And that's not who we are at heart. We only have a couple minutes left, but my admonition to everyone is take a look at yourself, honor the divine feminine and the divine masculine that exists within us all. We will not move forward as a society until the divine feminine aspect is once again respected, not through superficial means, but from the heart. Even in terms of fashion and sexuality and sensuality, that's all been something that has been directed to us from the patriarchal point of view. Let us reclaim and redefine the matriarchy. If you want to learn more, please visit Akeru Temple. That's Akeru Kemetic Temple, Kemetic, kametic.info, or go to my site, queenmotherimaku.info, or to our new Renegade Wise Woman site. For all of you sisters out there who are ready to come home to the Kemetic matriarchy, we are here for you. I am Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku. Check on the Susans and so forth in your neighborhood. Help somebody. In doing so, you will help yourself. Be good to yourself and to the world. Nereah.